And I call this as a transformational project. This decarbonize, decolonize, every one of the children who has participated in this has gone through a transformation.
As vozes do professor.
Aswat al-muallimun.
Lawsi ya wa'i.
Teachers' voices.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of Teachers' Voices, the podcast made from the stories of teachers from around the world, talking in their own words. Teachers' Voices is produced in partnership with Bolt, the digital platform on learning and development. I am your host, Nina Alonso. I am an educational researcher, and for the past 10 years, I have been devoted to improving equal access to education. I've been listening to teachers and researchers from across the world share their experiences of supporting young people in their mental, emotional, and physical development. In each episode, I'll bring you their inspiring stories alongside practical tips and resources. So if you're interested in how children learn and develop, please subscribe. You have just heard from my friend and colleague, Annapurna, and she's one of three inspirational teachers who I spoke with for today's episode, which is all about enabling young people to find their voice through activism and collaboration. Let me begin by telling you how I became aware of the teaching and learning experiences we'll talk about today. 3 years ago, while I was working with UNESCO schools in Spain, the United Nations Climate Change Conference, COP, was suddenly moved from Santiago de Chile, here to my home city of Madrid. I was asked to support an international delegation of teachers and students who had come to make their voices heard in the world of social justice and environmental protection. They had collaborated on a white paper and were presenting it at the UN Conference of Parties, or as it's also known, COP25. From the very beginning, I was impressed by the adaptability and cohesion of this network of driven educators and their students. I was inspired by the collaborative way that they prepared for the summit. And 3 years on, I'm still connected to them through an active and supportive teachers' WhatsApp group. In this episode, we'll be talking about the many benefits that come from supporting youth activism, from leadership to empathy. And to do that, I'd like to share the stories of three amazing educators that I got to know during that COP25 summit. Each educator that we listen to has a different international perspective, but all three work collaboratively with the schools and students at a local, regional, and international level to support young people in their mission to build a more sustainable future. Connecting each of these stories is the Carbonize, Decolonize, a global project developed by the Center for Global Education, partnering with several branches of UNESCO, which also works with OceanWise, the Intergovernmental Oceanographic Commission, and the UNESCO Associated Schools Network. We will hear from Annapurna, who coordinates the Indian schools in the Decarbonize project. Annapurna is an experienced education leader with a wide perspective on teaching. And I also spoke with Wendy, Wens as she likes to be called, a teacher at a UNESCO school in Trinidad, who shares her advice to build confidence and collaboration amongst all the students. But we begin in Edmonton, Canada, to meet Terry Gottwald. Terry is a former teacher who is director for the Center for Global Education. In this role, he coordinates the Decarbonize project, which gathers schools from around the world to elevate young people's voices around climate action. And I asked him to tell me about this work.
So the Center for Global Education is created to provide an opportunity for young people to connect the learning that they experience in their classroom to the people, places, and issues that are happening around the world. We believe that we no longer have to talk about someone when we can talk with them. And even more importantly, while we learn, we need to turn that learning into action. And that action needs to be based on an understanding of global citizenship, so that young people approach their education as not something that happens to them, but rather something that they can engage in and use to create the world that they believe needs to be in place. And one of our big projects is the Decolonize Project. And it is a comprehensive learning journey around climate change, climate resilience, and climate justice in the context of empowering young people to make real and lasting changes in their schools and in their local communities.
Terry understands how global vision and local impact are closely connected. And this relationship is what inspired the creation of Decarbonize, Decolonize, the Decarbonize Project for short. Here is the origin story.
I'd like to tell a story from when I was a teacher and I started this project. And one of my students, we were connecting through the Decarbonize Project, and we were talking to some young people in Costa Rica. And my students in Canada had heard of what was going around with the gold mining and the impact on Indigenous communities. And they went into this connection hoping to try to fix Costa Rica and all the injustice that was going on there. And then when they were talking to the Costa Ricans, they replied to them and they said that it was actually a Canadian international company that was doing the gold mining and that was poisoning the water, and that the best way they could fix them was not to change Costa Rica, but was for Canada to change their own legislation. And I remember this one young man who turned to me and he said, "Mr. Godwalt, this isn't my Canada." He didn't understand how his Canada could be responsible for injustices in other places in the world. And it was interesting because as a teacher, we had taught him for a long time about globalization and the impact of legislation of multinational companies. But it wasn't until he had a conversation and he heard firsthand. And that is at the core of all the work that we do through CGE and Decarbonize, is that we need to stop talking about and start talking with and create relationships so that young people can see through these myriad of disinformation and find the truth or truths and then find meaning.
And from those beginnings, the project has gathered many UNESCO schools and built impressive momentum. Here is Terry again.
All right. So in our 2021 year of the project, we had about 75 global leadership schools, and they came from over 50 countries. And it's really important that we have a balance of global north and global south countries, because one of the important perspectives of this project is this isn't a matter of one country telling another country or the developed world telling the developing world, global north, global south, whatever labels we want to put on peoples, one group telling another what to do, but rather as a collaborative journey in which we learn from each other. And so those 50 countries have as many different iterations and variations on what climate change and what climate action means to them. So we have our friends in Kenya have moved forward legislation and have moved forward action in terms of marches and legislation to change policies in their country. We have schools that are doing smaller projects. Our school in Madagascar, for example, had just started a school garden, and that was the work that they were doing. We have our friends in India who've created these incredible solar panels, and we have our friends in South Africa and in Taiwan, who've mutually planted thousands of trees. But really, climate action is as diverse and worthy of celebration as the countries that make it happen.
I am so impressed by what the Decarbonize Project has achieved with international collaboration within a wide range of teaching contexts. My own teaching experience and research work show just how effective it is to empower students in their learning and development. And when I see so many examples of creative teaching, I feel very hopeful for the future. I have more examples of the positive effects of this project working in Kenya, Madagascar, and Indonesia coming up in future episodes. You can learn more about this topic in our last episode, which was all about placing community at the heart of learning, and in our first series, Professor Natalia Kuzilkova spoke with me about empowering agency in young children. But before I move on, let's hear one more important point from Terry about empowerment.
A lot of our education systems do not really empower young people to look at complexity and uncertainty and look for points of intersection on their journeys. And so the process that the young people engage in through Decarbonize is very conscientiously created and deliberately executed. So at the beginning, young people look within, they look at their own countries, and they start to understand the complexities and the consequences of climate change within their own countries. And then they share those actions in a one-on-one conversation with another country. And these are the bilaterals. And then they move and they scale these solutions. They find similarities and differences and start to not just look from one country in the global north to another country in the global south, but rather starting to move towards continental action. And how can we not just take the voice of the strongest, but rather find ways to amplify and create opportunities so that all voices can be heard. And as we scale those all the way up to a global scale, and then they finally bring it all together in the Global Youth Manifesto that they present at the COP conferences. But it doesn't just start by bringing a small group of people together. Each of these countries engages thousands of young people. And in the end, the manifesto represents the actions and the sentiments of tens of thousands of young people from all around the world.
Thank you to Terry Gottwald for his inspiring contribution. We will come back to Terry again, but for now, we continue our story in Hyderabad, India, where I spoke with Annapurna. With almost 30 years of experience, Annapurna is a committed educational leader, and she coordinates the participation of the Indian school community in the Decarbonize Global Initiative. Annapurna has been to several COPs already with Indian students, to Germany, Poland, and Spain, where I met her, and Scotland last year. She explains how Indian students work collaboratively with their peers from different parts of the world. She also told me how the Center for Global Education supports the participation of students in the Decarbonize project that Terry described.
What these students do, they work very hard. They prepare blogs, researching, collecting information about climate change in India and their countries. This taking it global and the Center for Global Education, they give them the platform to interact with scientists from all these organizations like Polar Bear International and this OceanWise, so that the children are exposed to the research that is being done at that time by these scientists. The scientists interact with these children, and these children, all of them together from various countries, they discuss and they try to find solutions in their own way, in what way they can come up with, because they are the generation who are going to face whatever the effect of this climate change that one can see today, and how far it is going to be, you know, even worse or better, whatever it is. They bring them on a global platform in a virtual conference with these scientists. These children have interacted with scientists who are sitting at the Arctic Pole in a container and doing their experiments. And the scientists talks to these children, explaining to them what is the research that they have done. And you can actually see polar bears moving around in the background, which enables these children to ask them questions about the research that they're doing. And then they actually, you know, talk to these children and try to give them their ideas. What is the kind of research and what are the findings? What kind of things that these polar bears are actually going through? It has been a great experience, actually, even watching the video conference also, when you are actually talking to the scientists who are sitting there. And these children, when they actually meet, they synthesize the research that they have done and all the findings that they have had, whatever understandings that they have got from the identifying the similarities, dissimilarities, and the case studies that they have done. They synthesize all that work into and prepare what is called as a Global Youth White Paper, which is then presented at the COP. to the UNFCCC and other world policy.
Annapurna is very proud of having participated guiding young Indian students in several UN climate conferences. She highlights the impact that the participation of young people in these initiatives have had at local and national levels.
And presenting at the COP, I mean, what kind of an impact has that made to the children that they actually take it forward and bring about the change in their school, home and community is what is of utmost importance for me, because I consider that as my achievement only if they've come up with some kind of an impact, taking some initiatives. And in this respect, what I would say is, especially these children from the schools that I have taken them to, one of the schools is a very old school, almost 90 plus year old school. And with the initiative that that these children have taken, now the school has 12 rainwater harvesting pits. There's a huge compost pit that the school has set up. And they have set up a vegetable garden. It's a day boarder school because the children get lunch and everything in the school. They've set up a huge vegetable garden with the vision that after 3 years, they will not buy vegetables from outside. Even in smaller places, even in rural setting, the kind of impact that this has is children come up with initiatives. One of the student, he actually developed a device to translocate trees, you know, from one place to another in the rather than cut them in the name of development. That was a scalable project in such a way that one of the state governments actually took it up and now they are using that to remove huge trees and translocate them rather than cut them because they have to lay new roads, etc. So you know, these are all the initiatives completely driven by students and taken up by students to bring about the change in whatever way they can at their level, but will bring about drastic results also, you know, in the positive direction.
Annapurna's insights illustrate the impact that supporting youth activism in climate action has on students, schools and communities at different levels in India. Now, to think about making young voices heard through local actions integrated in school activities, let's continue our journey in the Caribbean region. Wens teaches middle school students in Trinidad, the southernmost island country in the Caribbean. Wens is the UNESCO leader of her school, and she knows Terry and Annapurna from previous climate conferences. She is also passionate about teacher collaboration and local action, and so she wanted to explain about her role and to describe the kind of teaching experiences that she has had to support their students' activism around climate change.
So as a young child growing up, I used to be a girl guide. And as a girl guide, we did a lot of outdoor activities. We worked with the environment. And when I started my tertiary education, one of my subjects, my areas, was international relations. So when I joined the teaching profession, and I realized that I could have applied to be a UNESCO teacher, I jumped at that opportunity because of that interest that I had with the environment. So in my school, I'm actually in the modern studies department. So I'm able to work along with other teachers in my department. I work along with a geography teacher, and we have an environment club. I have also been able to bring in an NGO that I'm a part of, the United Nations Association of Trinidad and Tobago, and they have partnered with the School for Environment Projects. And I work very closely with the geography department. So when we have activities to do, we will pull in the geography students, we'll pull in students from the environment club, and all of my classes, I get them involved. I work with the art teacher so that they would get involved. So some of the activities for the term, the teacher would include some of the themes that we are dealing with.
I asked Wens to describe the kind of activities that they develop as part of their journey around sustainable development goals and of the Decarbonize project. She also explains an advocacy campaign they develop at local level.
So we do different things you know, to span the course of time. So we have the recycling as one aspect. We had the mask making as one aspect. We had a sustainable development week. We had a march. We had a walk. We had a poster making, you know, different types of activities where the students got involved. And so the parents would be aware as well. And we also have a national commission for UNESCO. So we send a report to the Secretary General so the information gets to the National Commission. One of the things that I thought was very rewarding for the students, especially because I saw how they felt when their work went on display. I worked with an art teacher. And the art teacher, we from UNIC, we have posters on the Sustainable Development Goals. And the teacher, I posted those posters in different parts of the school, in the classrooms, on the notice boards. And the art teacher, he asked the students to reflect any one of the goals, and especially the one that would deal with education and the environment, well-being, and so on, and create a mask. Now, Trinidad and Tobago, we are known for our carnival. And for the carnival, mask making is very important. So the students were able to create masks to represent the SDGs. And that project that those students did, I thought that it was remarkable. And then what we did, we placed those masks. There's a part of the school that we call the covered walkway. And we placed those masks on the notice boards along the covered walkway. And we had a whole week of activities. And that week of activities then, it was culminated with an SDG day. And then I think the following month, we had a walk around. Remember I said my school is opposite of Savannah? We had a walk around that savannah, which is central. And we stood in front of the prime minister's office with signs. And we had our voices heard. And the students and the teachers participated. So it was like a whole school project for the art students. And then we got students from different year groups to make posters. And then we got other students to make that walk around the savannah, and then we stood in front of the prime minister's office and we took some pictures there.
Wens explained how rewarding these kind of experiences are for her and for the children that she teaches.
You know, when it is World Environment Day, we go and we do beach cleanups. So just being a part, getting my hands in and seeing the children get involved has really done a lot for me, and I'm sure it has done a lot for the kids as well.
The stories of Wens like Annapurna's show how young people can be supported while getting their voices heard through activism. Wens also shared some advice, tips, and sources of inspiration for other teachers.
I will say try to find a way to let the most shy student come alive in your class. Find a way for that student who is quiet, that student who seems to hide themselves, find an activity or create a space in your classroom where that student can come alive. And it makes a big difference, even for the students who are looking on when they see a peer who is normally shy become enlivened.
And Wens gave me an example designed to build fellowship and communication within a cohort of students.
There is something that we use called a hot seat. And on the hot seat, this particular, let us say, student A would sit on that hot seat. And I am asking other students, tell me what you can say about person A that you think person A may not know about themselves. And we are looking for the positive things about person A in terms of their activities in the classroom. And I have seen some students who have been the most withdrawn become alive. And I actually heard a child said, "Really? You think that way about me?" And that almost brought tears to my eyes.
Wins gives a very good reminder that a feeling of understanding is strengthened by showing students that you understand what's important to them.
I use, it might sound strange, but I like to use education TikTok because I will share with those students those short clips. And one of them actually said, "Miss, TikTok into education?" Because, you know, they are into TikTok now. So I would share sometimes the short clips and say, "Okay, guys, go and research. Let's verify." And so I get them doing some research. I'm saying that we need to use the things that the students like. Yeah. So they love Minecraft. They love TikTok. I send them there. Oh, we have a WhatsApp group, a teacher's WhatsApp group. And so many things come to life in that WhatsApp group. And I think if, as teachers, we open up and we are willing to say when we need help and we are willing to affirm others when they do well, I think we will all have better days every day.
I believe the tips that Wins shares can be very useful for all the teachers around the world. Terry also invites teachers to use their project's resources. You will find links in the show notes. He invites educators who feel inspired by the stories you have listened to in this episode to engage in the Decarbonize project in various ways.
We welcome the participation of anyone and everyone to the project. There's a couple of different levels of involvement. Everything we do is free. The resources are free. They're all online that teachers can use. And we have, at a very base level, we have art projects and survey projects that students can engage in and then have their art submitted and even have the potential of having it brought to the United Nations Climate Conference. A second level is where students can engage with our global lead schools. So each country has between 2 and 4 global lead schools, and they will then have a chance to help them in climate projects that they might have in helping to collect data and also submitting artwork. And then finally, we have our global lead schools. And this is a smaller network of schools, and their job is to facilitate dialogue within their own countries, to gather data within their own countries, and then ultimately to participate in the writing of the Global Youth Manifesto. But all levels of schools, everything that's contributed goes into and is a part of the manifesto that's presented to the leaders of the planet at the United Nations Climate Conference.
Thank you for listening to Teachers' Voices, produced in partnership with Bolt, the digital platform for learning and development. Examples that we listen to here, like the reflections of students about the relation of Canada to the problems in Costa Rica, or using TikTok to help with research, were all showing us that we can often find answers to complex problems if we look at what is right in front of us. My own experience working with schools, learning communities, and networks have taught me that when we recognize the value of local knowledge, when all these are used collaboratively by the different members of learning communities because they value the contribution of each member, then we see amazing learning progress and community cohesion. If you have enjoyed this episode, you can find more about Annapurna, Terry, and the Center for Global Development, WENS, and This Schools Network on Bolt.expert and in the show notes. Don't miss the next episode, where we will be listening to what research says about youth activism in climate issues and more stories of how teachers support their students locally around sustainable development. Please don't forget to follow us and engage with us in conversations. Send in your feedback and suggestions by email at podcastteachersvoices@gmail.com or on social media. We are now on Twitter. Let's keep on building learning communities while bridging research and practice.